So first, I have to apologize. I was sick last week. It just came very fast, and I canceled my class at the last moment. Sorry for that. And so I just remind you where we were. We were in this chapter 3, where the purpose was a derivation of nonlinear Schrödinger equation as an envelope equation. And we had a little introduction to explain what is the method, in particular to introduce the method of multiple scale. And the second, we were in the middle of the calculation for the example of the Klein-Gordon equation. Okay, so I want to explain the method of multiple scale, classical method for ODEs and PDEs. I want to explain, you know, that particular example on Klein-Gordon. And I would like also to show you a systematic derivation of the nonlinear Schrödinger equation from a general wave nonlinear wave equation. Okay. So we were in the middle of our derivation, and I will quickly remind you where we were. So the starting point is the Klein-Gordon equation, one-dimensional Klein-Gordon equation with a cubic nonlinearity. You will see later that I chose cubic nonlinearity because it's the simplest case. And when there is a quadratic nonlinearity, then it becomes a little bit more complicated. We'll see what we have to do for that. So we look for a solution U in the form of an expansion. Like this. And we also introduce the slow variables, which are x denoted with big letters, so here I have introduced one slow variable in x and two in t. You should immediately tell me why this. Well, the reason is that it's not necessary immediately at this point of the calculation, but it is easy to present. So the next example, not that one, but the next one that we will see, I will avoid the second time scaling and introduce it only later when it is necessary. But as a first introduction to this method, the derivation is just a little bit more systematic. Okay, so this is the setting. We've done that already. All right. So we know that now each time that we have a time derivative, it will be replaced by this. Okay? So maybe I should say that before. The idea of multiple scale method is to consider the function not only of independent variable x and t, but also small x, small t, big x, big t, and big t. So we're going to look for u as a function of all these variables. And beyond that is that these are independent variables. So typically when we see a derivative with respect to time, it is replaced by And when we see a derivative respect to x, it is replaced by this, and we have to substitute in the equation. So we're going to substitute this expansion into the equation, taking into account this derivation. At lowest order, when lowest order means that order of epsilon, we get back to the linear equation dTt u0 minus dxx u0 plus u0 equals 0. Okay, so this is the linear Klein-Gordon equation. Looking for solution u of the form exponential I kx minus omega t. I'm going to put a constant. Plus the complex conjugate. If you substitute this form, this sinusoidal wave into this monochromatic wave or into the equation, you obtain immediately that omega and k must be related by the dispersion relation. And this we have obtained already. So omega and k cannot be chosen arbitrarily. They must be related by this dispersion relation. All right. So at this level, a is a constant, but the purpose of this method is to allow it to be slowly variable, slowly varying. So it is a constant in the small variable, in the fast variable, small x, small t, but it can depend on the slow variable. Now, next order, what do you get? You get dtt u1 minus, this is the linear part, equals what? Well, everything that is of order 2. But because this is a second order operator, this is second order, what did I do? And this is cubic. Am I right? I get I get something. What do I get? I get something coming from, so I need this. Sorry. I need the second order. We had that last week. I did not rewrite it. Okay. And we need also dx squared. I'm sorry, I'm making mistakes here. Here there are two terms. Yes, you have that all on your notes already. And this one. This is okay. So what do we have on order epsilon squared? What do we have at order epsilon squared? On the right hand side. Well, maybe I should write that L. The linear operator is just for us to be easier to see. I think that we wrote that also last week. So this is extension of L1 of L. Here we have a 2 d2 dt dt minus plus epsilon square agree with this, right? We had it before. So what do we have when we expand? This is the linear operator. You expand LU. LU becomes L0 plus epsilon L1 plus L2 L2 plus etc. Apply to U0 plus epsilon U1 plus etc. equal on the other side, so I have an epsilon, right? Because of the epsilon here, equals epsilon cube U0 plus epsilon U1. Right? This is what we are, yes? A cube, yeah. Okay. So let me erase this one. Let me write this epsilon. Okay. So this is the equation. We are looking at the term in order of epsilon 2, or epsilon, depending on. All right? So what do we have on the left-hand side? We have minus L1 of U0. That's all we have. Yeah, yeah. If I divide by epsilon, yeah. You want me to put one here to be? Maybe I should put one and yeah, I divide it by epsilon. So what is minus L1 of U0? That's all we have here. Is 2i. L1 is here. L1, 2i. L1 is here. I differentiate with respect to U0. So 2i omega d dt plus k d dx exponential I kx minus omega t plus the complex conjugate of this expression. So this is oh, okay. So where is it? It's L1 of U0. L1 is this operator, 2 dt, etc. applied to U0. U0 is A exponential I chi x t. So L1 of U0 is, I copy it again. Apply to A, depending on this low variable, I k x minus omega t. Plus its complex conjugate. So when you differentiate with respect to the small variable, to the fast variable t, it gives I omega, minus I omega, and the differentiation with respect to the big letter gives acts on A. So this is this one. And the other one is K, the same. Alright? Alright. So now we are here, we have here a term that is proportional to the exponential ik minus omega t. This function belongs to the kernel of the adjoint, which is the same as the operator. To eliminate this secular term, eliminate terms that would make the solution be not bounded, you force the coefficient in front of this function to be zero. So I eliminate secular term, it leads to the choice omega dt a plus k d f a equals. So I think we got to that point. So what does that say? This says that in this flow variable, A satisfies A dt plus K over omega okay. Now, it is important to notice that if omega of K square equals K square plus 1, if I differentiate respect to omega to k, I get omega omega prime equals k. So this coefficient here, k over omega, is exactly omega prime. And it's not just a chance, it's always like this. For all this discursive equation, we will see that the first relation that is obtained for the coefficient a is that A satisfies the transport equation with velocity which is called the group velocity omega prime. So this does not tell you what is A, it just tells you that A, that was supposed to be a function of these three independent variables, is in fact only a function of A, of tau. We have not touched this tau variation, so tau remains. It's a function of xi only, where xi is x minus ct, right? X, so x minus omega prime, big x. Okay. So this equation is exactly an equation of the form, we said that before, f t plus c f x equals 0, the transport equation with constant coefficient. Okay. So this is the first result. Okay. This is the first result. So the amplitude of the wave is just transported at the velocity, which is the group velocity. So now we have imposed that the right hand side is zero for the equation for U1. What remains is this is quite high. Dan, who has to help me to take that down. Thank you. So L0 of U1 equals 0. So what does that mean? It means that U1 belongs to the kernel again. So U1 is of the form B exponential I K X
minus omega t plus complex conjugate.
Now, since A is unknown at this point, you can always take A plus epsilon B to be the new A. So in other words, take B equals 0. All right, so I take B equals 0. So at this point, I have no U1, and I go on to the expansion. So B, I will choose B. What do you mean a structure?
Oh, well, it's to satisfy this equation.
Yes. So there are several ways to do that. You don't have to work with B equals 0. You can just leave it. And later we will define A plus epsilon B to be the new variable. And I will have to do that. I said that I choose a presentation. You remember I introduced this tau. So in the next example, which will be essentially a wave equation with a quadratic nonlinearity, the KdV, I will propose an alternative method which is just equivalent. And in this setting, I will keep this A plus epsilon. You have some choices. You can do either. So for simplification, I choose B equals 0. Yes, because you don't have to do that immediately. You can just... There are several ways to proceed in this calculation. So you may say, well, I don't do that. I do that later. Just leave it here. So tomorrow I will do the KdV and we'll see that derivation. So here I'm trying to show the simplest example with the simplest assumption to get to the NLS, and we'll see if we're more refined. So what is the order epsilon square? Next order. L0 U2 equals, so what do we have? Minus L1 U1 minus L2 U2 U0. Okay? And now, for the first time, the nonlinear terms come in, and the only term that will remain is U0 cubed in the first term. So what is, so this one we have eliminated because we took B equals 0. So L2 applied to U0. So I write L2 here. This is the tau. Minus. Plus, yeah. So, minus in front, yes. And this has to be applied to U0. So, I will just write what is U0 here. A exponential A kx minus omega t plus A plus its complex conjugate, right? Plus its complex conjugate plus A exponential A kx minus omega t plus complex conjugate q. Now we're going to eliminate the, we're going to eliminate the secular term. Thank you. which are the term proportional to exponential AKX minus omega. So where are they? Well, of course, this is all this linear operator applying to A gives terms proportional to AKX minus omega t. And we have also one term coming from here. When you expand this cube, you have terms with a 3, you have terms with a minus 3, and you have terms with plus or minus ikx minus omega. Okay, so let's rewrite all these terms. I start with this, with this minus. Two derivative applied to A, so d2 dt squared A, plus, so when I apply the time derivative, the small t gives a minus omega t, minus I with a 2, dA d tau, right? So minus d2a dx squared. This is one term. And now this one is plus 3 a squared. Equal 0. So we suppress all these terms. All right. So now I will use the fact that A is a function of psi and tau, which implies that when I calculate d dt of A, what is it? It's minus omega prime dxt. When I calculate dA dx, it's dA dxt. And what do I need? dA d tau doesn't change. I need also d2a. And two derivatives with that. Right, I should have chosen another letter, A tilde, but I just kept it in there. All right, so what is the equation now? So let me start with this one. 2i omega dA d tau plus 1. Minus, so 1 minus omega prime square dA dt plus 3a squared a dt. So people like to write this as I dA d tau plus this coefficient that I will compute in a minute. Right, so if I had put the coefficient in front of the non-linear term, it would have reappeared there. I just left one. Now let's look a little bit more carefully this term, this coefficient here. Double prime. Oh, it has a double. Yes, thank you. So what is this parenthesis? If you differentiate this equation again with respect to k, you get omega prime square plus omega double prime equals 1. So you see that 1 minus omega prime square divided by omega is omega square. So this coefficient, so the resulting equation is I dA d tau. dA d tau plus omega double prime over 2 Okay, so this is known as the nonlinear Schrödinger equation. With cubic nonlinearity. All right. So what did we obtain in this calculation? We started with the Klein-Gordon equation up there. We were interested in solutions that are small in amplitude. And we obtained an approximation in the form of u of xt equals epsilon a of c and of xt and tau. So I'm calculating the first term there. Now, by the way, if I wanted to calculate, where is u equation for u2? Oops. Okay, I erased the equation for u2. We can calculate it if we want to calculate u2. I'm not going to calculate it. Just keeping the lowest term there, plus complex conjugate, where c equals epsilon s minus omega prime t omega minus k t tau equals epsilon 2t omega is related to k by the dispersion relation and in this flow variables, A satisfies the nonlinear Schrödinger equation, so a tau plus omega double prime over 2, okay, plus the coefficient. So we have approximated the solution of the Klein-Gordon equation by a monochromatic wave with an amplitude satisfying the nonlinear Schrödinger equation in the slow variable. So this is why the nonlinear Schrödinger equation is often referred as an envelope equation. So you have a wave packet and the amplitude is slowly modulated amplitude. The variation of the amplitude, which is non-trivial, it is governed by the nonlinear Schrödinger equation, the variation at much smaller, are much slower than the dynamics of the monochromatic. All right. If you don't have questions, I would like to redo this calculation in a systematic way. So I would like to start with a general nonlinear wave equation and redo this calculation and show you that in fact what I have done has nothing to do really with the fact that it is Klein-Gordon. But the only important point is the dispersion relation. Okay? So I'm going to start with a general wave equation. I will remain in one dimension, one space dimension. And I will write this equation in this form. A certain linear operator, depending of the a certain linear operator, combination of derivative of x and t, equals a non-linear term. And I will assume that the lowest, that n of u is of cubic nonlinearity at it has no quadratic nonlinearity. Because when it has quadratic nonlinearity, as I said in the beginning, there is an extra difficulty that we have to address, that I want to do it next time, not immediately. So we don't touch all the difficulties at the same time. Okay? So this is my general wave equation, and I have to assume that it is dispersive. So what it means that when looking for solutions, look for solutions in the form of monochromatic waves, when you substitute this solution into the linear problem, L must satisfy, omega and k must satisfy that L of, what is ddt? ddt is minus I omega, I k equals. So this is a dispersive operation. So L is a dispersive operator. And when we look for solution of this type, omega k will satisfy the dispersive relation. Now, at any moment when you need to see the equivalent of this abstract calculation to the real equation, you just think of Klein-Gordon or anything else. All right. It means that L, the assumption for dispersive means that L has solution of this type, where the wave has to be dispersive. So omega prime of k is different from constant. So this is important. Thank you. Omega prime of k. Well, we have seen this hypothesis here, for example. Okay, so now we're going to do the calculation. All right, so we look for u. I'm going to write a list of expansion that we are going to do. U is expanded like this. Dt is replaced by dx, will be replaced by dx plus epsilon d capital X. So we will need, so the operator L becomes L of dt plus epsilon dt plus epsilon 2 beta. This is the operator L. And as before for the Klein-Gordon equation, we will have to expand that operator. So I will write at the moment L0 plus epsilon L1. And we're going to calculate that immediately. So L0 L0 is L of dc dx plus epsilon. So how do we get L1? L1 consists in finding the coefficient of epsilon. If you think of the wave equation, what do we have? You have to differentiate L with respect to the first variable, dt, 1. So we calculate L1 later, d capital dt. So this is this term, and that term dx, where this index 1 and 2 represent the derivative of L with respect to its first variable and its second variable. At the epsilon 0 order. At epsilon equals 0. Thank you. At epsilon equals 0. Okay? Oh, you're right. How can I do that? Let's move that away up. I'm sorry. Thank you. Plus epsilon square. So again, what do we have? We have the d tau multiplied by L1. Okay, so L1 is this operator plus 1 half L11 derivation respect to twice the first variable. This is an operator acting, so it's an operator acting on small variables x and t, fast variable x and t at epsilon equals 0. What do I have? D2 dt square. Yes. No? Plus L12 d2 dt dx plus 1 half. So it's the Taylor expansion. And as before, epsilon square will be enough. Okay, so these are differential operators taken at epsilon equals 0, so acting only on the slow on the fast variable. Right? They act, these operators, they act on the fast variable. And when needed, we compute them. So, what is the equation? The equation becomes L0 plus epsilon L1 plus epsilon 2 L2 applied to U0 plus epsilon U1 plus etc. plus epsilon 2 U2 equals N of I suppose I should put the epsilon now. N of epsilon cube U0 Oh, well, no, I should not put that. I should not put a square. N of U. So now we have done that already a number of times. Order epsilon is L0 U0 equals 0, which implies that U now is a function, let's call it A, of x, t, and tau, the slow variable, exponential A kx minus omega t plus complex conjugate. And omega and k are related by L of minus I omega I k equals 0. Next order Next order, it becomes L1 of L0 of U1 equal minus L1 of U0. And again, since I have supposed that no quadratic terms in the nonlinearity, that's all. Right? So, now what can we say about this term? Well, L1 of U0 belongs to the kernel of the adjoint. Why? Because if you take L0 of L1, of U0, it's equal to L1 of L0 of U0. So we're going to write that this is 0. This is 0. Zero equals 0. How do you write that? Well, L1, by definition of the L1, this is L1. This is L sub 1, yeah? L1 dt. Plus L2 dx, this applies to A exponential A kx minus omega t. Apply to this plus its complex conjugate equals 0. So L acts on the slow variable. L acts on the fast variable x. So let me rewrite this as dA theta dt. L1 applied to pi A kx minus omega t plus L2 plus dA dx L2. This and its complex conjugate, we can do it one after the other. Now, what is L1 applied to exponential I kx minus omega t? Now, remember that L satisfies the dispersion relation L of dt dx exponential I kx minus omega t equals 0. Okay. So what can we say about the derivative of L respect to the first and second variable? I'm going to differentiate this with respect to k. What do I get? I get L1, derivation of L respect to the first variable, minus I omega prime, plus I L2 equals 0. So L1 and L2 are related by this. So L2 is equal to minus omega prime L1. When applied to the sinusoidal wave, so what do I get? get exactly dA dt plus omega prime dA dx equals 0. Alright? I'm interested in L1, L2 acting on this sinusoidal wave. So, differentiate with respect to t or differentiate with respect to x, there is exactly multiplication by this coefficient. Okay, so when this operator acts on that, on this sinusoidal function, L1 and L2 are related by this relation. Okay, so this is, you remember, this is the first equation saying that the amplitude changes, follows the trajectory, follows moves at the velocity omega prime. That was the first equation we obtained. So now second order, where are we? Order speed on the cube. So, as before, I'm going to, since I'm looking for the simplest possible solution, I'm taking u1 equals 0. Where is u1? L0 of u1 equals 0. L0 of u1 equals 0. Let's take u1 equals 0. And next order, I have to write L2 of u0 equals, so L2 of u0, next order, L2 of u0 equals minus L1 of u1 minus L0 of u, L0 of u2, thank you, 2, right, plus the first order term in the nonlinear equation. So it is n of the u0. So what are the secular terms? Well, the secular terms are when operator L2, I should not have. You see, L2 is here. L2 is this big operator here, in this parenthesis, acting on u0, plus the nonlinear term equals 0. I'm going to write here so we can keep an eye on the SL, on this L2. All right. So what is L2 of u0? So L2 of u0, it's L1, L2 of u0, L2, so L1 acting on L1 a tau, right, plus 1/2 of getting a little bit too fast here. So L1 of bt squared, I'm going to calculate that in a minute, plus
Okay, so all that acts on A.
So the derivative with respect to big letters acts on A, and the operator L1, L11, etc. acts on the exponential. Right? So I have to calculate several things. First of all, I should say that from this equation, again, I'm going to introduce the variable x, c equals omega prime t, and derivation with respect to c of a will be replaced by minus omega prime d c. And as we said before, all the other derivatives. So first I'm going to rewrite this a little bit better. So here I have 1/2 omega prime square d2 derivative with respect to c square plus L12 minus minus omega prime big C square plus 1/2 L22 applied to A exponential I kx minus omega t. So I have two things to calculate. I have to calculate these coefficients. And I have to remember that we are taking the secular term. So I have to take the secular term coming from the nonlinear term. So I'm going to write that this, so first of all, secular term coming from the nonlinear term. Well, since we have supposed that n is cubic in U0, this will give again 3 a square a absolute value of a square a. So what is left is only the action of these operators on the sinusoidal function. Alright, so do you remember how we obtain this? We differentiate the dispersion relation. We're going to differentiate the second time. So I can be taken away. I'm going to differentiate the second time the dispersion relation with respect to K. Differentiate the dispersion relation. Respect to K. Second time. Second derivative. Well, if you do that, you get exactly that. So differentiate with respect to K. A11 omega prime square. Differentiate with respect to K. And it has a minus sign. Plus L1 omega double prime. So this is a differentiation. So I differentiate this one. I did not do it in the right order. Okay. It's a minus. Okay, and here minus or plus? Minus. minus or plus? Minus. All right. You know what, I'm going to differentiate it with the I, because otherwise I'm going to be lost with the number the I. So let me do it again. Minus omega prime prime L1. Okay, I differentiate with the I. Minus omega double prime, omega prime square L11. Now, minus, there will be a term in L12. Yes, so there will be omega prime, there will be an I, and there will be a 2, because it comes from the twice, the two terms before, and minus L22 equals 0. So this is the relation between this L11, L22, when they are applied to the exponential. Good. So we have to replace this. We are almost there. We're almost there. So what do we have? We have L1 dA d star, or I should have replaced L1. What is L1? I'll do it in a minute. Plus. So so L1 eta, I have written that. Now I'm going to calculate this combination. 1 half omega prime square. So you see there, it's almost, everything is there. That is the coefficient of the second derivative. So what's left here is I omega double prime L1 Do you agree with that? It's just because all these terms combine in the same combination to give omega double prime L1 with the correct I and sign. And plus the non-linear terms. When I put 3, there should be also a coefficient out of non-linear terms. So here I can put 3. L1 is the coefficient. So here is a derivation. So let me rewrite it again because we like the I in front of the tau derivative. comme un Mr. Airy. Then if an I somewhere. No, because the I may be containing L1. Think of just a very simple thing. An operator L being, I don't know, just two derivatives. Just think of an operator L like this. Right? So what is L1? Can you help me? If I divide by L1, yes? Except that L1 is? Oh, it's omega. I omega. I omega or omega? Well, I want the usual nonlinear Schrodinger equation. No, I don't need extra I, but I multiply by I here, from here to here. Okay, I'll check that. But it has to be nonlinear Schrodinger equation. So this was the purpose of that calculation was to show you that, yes? I missed something? This I here? Yes, I'm deriving twice this equation. Yes. I use that I want to. I don't have an idea.
Yeah.
Calculation was a little bit heavy, but the purpose was to show you that indeed when you start that this envelope equation, the derivation of the nonlinear Schrodinger equation as an envelope equation is obtained from a very large family of dispersion equations. Inside this family, the water wave problem, for which the calculation is much more complicated, but it still enters into this mechanism. Okay, so that was the purpose of this little bit tedious calculation, is to show you that this Klein-Gordon equation has nothing to particular, and even more, the coefficients that are obtained for the nonlinear Schrodinger equation are always of this type, so that the group velocity is always omega prime, and that the coefficient of the second order term is always again the second derivative of omega double prime. Okay, so that was the purpose of this calculation. So tomorrow I would like to move to the we have avoided quadratic nonlinearities. And we can't avoid them like that, because in many equations, this is what happens. For example, in the water wave problem, there are quadratic nonlinearities. And since, the water wave problem is a bit difficult to handle immediately, my example will be the KdV equation. And just to know where we are, tomorrow we'll start a new chapter, which I call mean field generation. And we will see what it means. It is related to the fact that the nonlinearity is quadratic. So what I will do, I would like first to start with the scalar wave equation. The wave equation with quadratic nonlinearity. How does people deal with this quadratic nonlinearity in the context of weakly nonlinear waves? Quadratic nonlinearity. And I will take the example of the KdV equation. And second, for the first time, we will consider an example of an equation in two variables. So we will start with the Kp Kadomsev-Pechavili equation, which, if you remember, is the equivalent of the KdV equation is the long wave limit of the water wave problem, equivalent to the KdV equation in two dimensions. Also, water wave problem in three dimensions, Kp in two equation. And I would like to consider again the weakly nonlinear analysis, so solutions, and show that the nonlinear Schrodinger equation is replaced by the Davetsky-Watson system. I would like to introduce to you a case where in a higher dimension setting. And so let me do a little diagram that say so this is the program for tomorrow, and we haven't yet done the water wave. So you need, if you start from water wave in some different limit, you can take KdV. In the long wave, small amplitude limit, you can take KdV. Now, if you take weakly nonlinear wave, from KdV you get nonlinear Schrodinger equation. if you take weakly nonlinear limit from the water wave problem, you also get. So NLS can be obtained as an envelope equation from the water wave problem. It can be also obtained through the KdV. So this is a little bit easier derivation, but it can get it both ways if you're interested in nonlinear, weakly nonlinear waves. Okay, so tomorrow I'll try to cover these two examples, and we will have already a large number of examples to convince ourselves as to see the nonlinear Schrödinger as an envelope equation, and then we'll move to their properties. So for those who did not take an assignment number 2, I don't know if people got them.